Yeah, not only is that we need activities in interiors, production of furniture and so on, and that's something that we might try to get into. And then after we have served the town, we would have this industry that could go on for other places. I think those, per se, they could be a very good source of income. And then we have the visitors and the media that I would like to develop. And the media is the idea that we tend to, again, to segregate the information from the source of information and from the people that receive the information. So an attempt to take the medias and reintegrate them in the community and in the land, in the climate and so on. And we are beginning to do that right now with the festivals and so on. So that could be a very important source of revenues, economically. The first, the little greenhouse, that would be a center in India for a public park. That we have some kind of a contract going on with that. Yeah, no, we would do only the design and the supervision. Probably reinforced concrete, yes. Well, we would have to consider steel also, but and see the cost. You said assistance? Oh, I don't foresee, I don't know what kind of system or government, frankly. No, we don't know. We don't know because, number one, it's going to be a few years in the future. Number two, there are things that you can anticipate and somehow structure. There are things that possibly to anticipate too much and structure too much might be dangerous. So you might follow a certain notion and then find out that the notion was wrong. And one of those fields is politics, I'm afraid. So there are many examples of different kinds of approaches, and we would try to look into them and see. Well, I do. They have political implications, but there are mainly, let's say, ethic notions. One is that the discouraging, or not discouraging, the unimportance of ownership that we would like to suggest. That doesn't mean eliminate ownership. That means that perhaps ownership can be much less important in our own lives. The other one is what I call relative poverty, which is now a necessity since we are poor anyhow. And that is an attempt to remain under the minimum wage salary. So all of us, it's under that kind of an umbrella now, $2.50. The other one is it's the use in the sense of rentals or pools of things, so that instead of having 10,000 objects, you might have only 1,000 objects in all the categories of the things from domestic to industrial that we might be involved with. Yeah, water is going to be one of the critical elements, so we have to try to make use of it more than once. So domestic water would be recycled, probably. Maybe you want to go on with that. Yeah. But the difference is that I don't believe in utopia. Let me try to explain what I mean. I do not believe that perfection is around the corner. Nor I believe that I can come up with anything perfect or anyone that works there. So we believe that an effort has to be put in the direction of a more coherent situation of us vis-a-vis ourselves and vis-a-vis the ecological system, but with a very clear knowledge that it's going to be a very long process. And by long, I don't mean a few generations, I mean thousands of generations. You know, that diagram, I'm taking that diagram very seriously. So that's why Utopia is a fantasy that I'm not interested in at all. That doesn't mean that we are going to succeed because we are not a utopian, but it means that we do not believe in paradise on this earth, which is going to be ready for our children. Paradise is something that was in the past, and basically it was an imagination that we have of the past. What we have to build is something quite different. But it's involved in the idea of a theological structure, which is quite different from the Catholic or Protestant structure. Well, that depends so much on what kind of membrane or an envelope you put around the body. So if your house is well insulated, that's what you're after. That's what I mean. You have a certain amount of energy produced by your body. So you keep it in or you let it out. So if you vent it out, you lose it. If you keep it in, you're going to be able to make use of it. So you can recycle it one way or the other, but basically is that you insulate the heat that is produced by you within the environment that you are using, the interior environment. No. No, self-sufficiency is, in many ways, it's an illusion, and it's a dangerous illusion. What you like to project is that kind of reliance, self-reliance, which tells you that you can barter with your neighbors, whatever you cannot do, which is what happens, naturally. So, if self-sufficiency means self-reliance, it's fine. If self-sufficiency means that you seal off the community and the community can be anywhere because it doesn't have to depend on anything else, then I would say, no, that's an illusion. It's utopia again. So you specialize in few or many activities, and then those activities are giving you the means to go out and buy or barter other things that you are not doing. And since every one of us needs thousands of items, we know very well that nobody can do all those items within its own daily activities. To make a distinction there, which is the difference between a prototype and a production, the normal production cycle. We are working with a prototype, and as such, many of those objections or those things are irrelevant. You could imagine of a dictator from Iran coming in and say, "I'm going to finance the prototype," and you have to decide if you want to accept this kind of financing. And one reason to accept could be that you're trying to develop a prototype that then could be made available for the market. And that goes for other things like why there and not here, why 3,000 instead of 5,000 or 20,000, why go about it building it this way and so on. Those are irrelevant questions when you see the process for what it is, which is trying to trigger a much larger process. So what we are doing is more of a yeasting or of a catalyst idea than produce a marketable object at this point. The market comes later, and you might have to invest in the market planning as much as you invest in the prototype, and maybe more.
Individual spirit living in a condensed
Well, we tend to believe this is very new, but it's very old. No. Few thousands of years old, this idea that people are clustering and are associating and are working together. That's a typical characteristic of the human species. So in a way, Los Angeles is the strange one, not what we are trying to do. And Los Angeles is the strange one because it's very young, only two or three generations, and it's a very tiny part of the human family. So it's an exception, and it's a very limited exception at that. What we are trying to do is to carry on the process as it's been established and developed for thousands of years. And the process is the urban condition. And that doesn't mean that we have all the answers. We have hardly any answer, but that's where we have to work at. Since we have so few answers, we have to work at it even harder. But basically, it comes back to this notion of what life is. Is it scattering? Is isolation? Is remoteness? Is all those things, or it's perhaps the opposite? It's gathering, it's complexification, is interdependent, and so on. And once we make up your mind, we should be coherent with it. But we cannot say it's complexity and then say, and Los Angeles is the consequence. If it is complexity, Los Angeles is a degeneration of the process. Well, New York, but in New York somehow it has the characteristic of the gigantic, of the wasteful, of the thing that cannot work because the technologies are not appropriate and so on. See, the problem with Arcosanti is that we don't have what we are seeking. So it's difficult to demonstrate what it would be once you don't have it. So that's the main problem. We are there because we believe that the function of the city is a fundamental function, but we are in a wilderness. That's why you really have to be future-oriented in order to be there, otherwise you don't make any sense. It's a sacrificial condition, and that demands quite a bit. It's okay to be there 6 weeks or 6 months and enjoy the experience. Another thing is to be there 6 or 7 or 10 years, knowing that you would like to go much faster and you cannot do it, and knowing that all the things you believe in are not existent there. Well, but if you're on a corner of 50th and I don't know, Osborne, is that, I'm just saying the same thing? It's just that the one, you see it because it's up. The other, you don't see it because it's down. But, I mean, that's the logic of that. It's minimal. So, but the thing is to see what you might gain by having that, which is not really that. It's a volume as against having that. Then you begin to have options, and you might want to decide. But the idea that you are free because you live in Phoenix, it's a nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. We are coerced by the Phoenix grid. And if you were older or old and you were poor, you would find out that Phoenix kills you. So there is no freedom there. I mean, there's a very limited freedom. So we have to try to find out, bringing in all the other problems, environment, pollution, resources, energy, segregation, and so on, and see where the answer might be focusing. And they're not focusing on Phoenix. They're focusing on something very different. The thing is that we are very willing to accept any kind of coercion which comes with you. So I'm born in that kind of coercion, so I accept it. We are not willing to investigate the possibility of having limitations of freedom that might produce greater freedom in totality, because they have novelty, or because we are not used to them, or because they need work. an experimentation. And part of the experimentation is failure, naturally. But we don't think of nothing of investing $3 or $4 billion in failing an aircraft so that we find out how the aircrafts could fail. But we are not willing to invest $1 million in an open experiment, yet to deliver. Well, that's the most complex problem we are faced with. It's not the airplane, it's the urban condition. So there is a total irrational way of looking at things, unfortunately. Very, 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 very quickly. Unless you go thousands of feet, you stay within 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 floors, you know that every 10 feet you have a landscape, practically speaking. So that's where the efficiency comes in. And naturally, if it was that wasn't true, we would not be three-dimensional, we would be flat. So a humanity which would be like a leaf. But we cannot do it because to contain what we have in a flat area, for my being, I would need probably a campus in order to do what I'm doing. So I'm a campus, you're a campus, so you see immediately the total irrelevance of that approach. The approach is three-dimensional. 20 stories, 50 stories? Well, they're not miles, they're 1 mile and so on, but you're confusing the presentation of a concept that wants to show the possibilities with the actual performance. So that's why I was saying those are symbols, those are abstractions and so on. And that doesn't mean that eventually we might not do that because of new materials. But you don't need to go any more than a few dozens of stores to have a three-dimensional system. But you got what I mean, that you need only a certain headroom to have performances going on. Well, you need hundreds of feet to have performances going on. And naturally, the development of life showed that very clearly. The vegetal kingdom could not go beyond a certain kind of sensitivity. And the fundamental reason probably was because the vegetal kingdom has to spread out itself in order to capture the energy of the sun. So you needed the next step, which was the folding of that system in a three-dimensional system in order to produce eventually sensitivity, consciousness, self-consciousness, and eventually freedom. But now if we decide that we go back to the vegetal, then we have to examine our conscience and decide if this is honest. We are working with the Environmental Research Center in Tucson at the university. They are our consultant. And they have been giving us guidelines for the development of INDIO. And they seem to be quite excited about the process because it seems to be working quite well. Continues one way or the other. No, I haven't. Yes. The question is, as the population increases, how those structures adapt. Up to a point, they would, beyond a point, they would have to make a new development, which again, is very organic, if you consider the whole thing. There's a difference between the inner life of a system and the dimension that this system can develop into. And as we know, in any kind of biological system, dimensions is very fundamental. You cannot have an elephant which is one-fifth of the size, or have a man which is 20 times the size of a normal person. But what you have is the reproduction. Only in very elementary societies you can have something that can go on endlessly. One example is the coral reef. But those are societies which are very, very limited in social terms, and naturally they don't have any culture.